Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
So let's get going with the first poem. How are you doing today, Mark?
Doing great, thank you.
The poem this week deals with a not particularly sexy topic. We're going to talk about constipation. Just by way of background, to remind listeners that people with chronic constipation usually divided into two main categories: those with difficulty defecating but who have normal bowel motion frequency, and those who have some sort of transit abnormality which can present as infrequent defecation. Now, although there are different defined criteria for the diagnosis of constipation, in practical aspect, they're less rigid and in part depend on the person's perception of what is a normal bowel habit. Lots of different options for treating constipation, including exercise, altering fluid intake, biofeedback, and certainly pharmaceuticals, some natural and some prescribed. This week, we're going to ask Mark which is the most effective treatment for chronic constipation, and I think you're going to compare two pharmacologic treatments. Is that right, Mark?
That's right. That's right. We're going to talk about chronic constipation, and that's defined using the Rome criteria, and that means that these people have less than three stools a week for 3 months and have at least one of the following symptoms at least a quarter of the time. So that's straining, lumpy or hard stool, or a sensation of incomplete evacuation. So these people not only had less frequent than normal bowel movements, they also had symptoms that made them uncomfortable. In this study, 239 patients who met these criteria were randomly assigned to get either 6 milligrams of the serotonin agonist tegaserod, which is Zelnorm, twice a day, or 17 grams of the laxative polyethylene glycol, or PEG, once a day. Now, this was an unblinded, open-label trial. The researchers said that these things looked so different that they couldn't blind it. That's not quite true. They could certainly have given 17 grams of a placebo powder and two placebo pills and done this kind of a double dummy design, but apparently they didn't feel like doing that. This was also a manufacturer-sponsored study, so maybe that's why they didn't want to do that. The average participant was 46 years old and had been constipated for an average of 16 years. 90% were women. Patients were followed for a month, and data were gathered by patient self-report. The patients called in using a voice response system. The groups were similar at the start of the study. The analysis was by attention to treat, and those are things we like to see. The primary outcome was treatment response, and they defined that as not having to use rescue laxatives, having at least three satisfactory bowel movements a week, and having not more than one of the Rome symptoms less than a quarter of the time. So this kind of a positive response was seen in half of the patients in the PEG group compared to 31% in the Zelnorm group, and that gives you a number needed to treat of about five.
Mm.
They also looked at secondary outcomes like the number of BMs a week and the intensity of symptoms, and those tended to favor the PEG as well. Adverse events were more common in the tegaserod or Zelnorm group, mostly headache and what they called nervous system complaints, and they didn't specify what that meant, but that's probably not surprising since it is a serotonin agonist.
It sounds like the outcomes that they're looking at are pretty patient-oriented. I mean, they're things that patients would notice. They're not things on a scale that are measurable by any instrument, but that clinically wouldn't be noticeable. You know, constipation is something that really plagues a significant percentage of my patient population, particularly women. Is there a practice changer here? I mean, is this enough to say that, you know, for those patients who have, you know, meet the Rome criteria for chronic constipation, that we really ought to be using this PEG?
Well, it's tough to say. You know, this is really an area where I think we have to talk to our patients about the what we know and what we don't know. And what we know is that relatively short term, over a month or so, the PEG seems to be safe and effective, and that, you know, a significant number of patients are going to benefit. What we don't know is, are there long-term adverse effects? If someone's using it for 6 months or a year or 10 years, is that a good idea? Certainly, the Zelnorm was pulled off the market and I think is now back on the market, but in a limited sense because of concerns of cardiovascular problems. So, you know, there are some issues with safety of certainly the Tegaserod. PEG has been used for a long time, but it hasn't really been systematically studied on a daily basis, taken on a daily basis for months and years. So I think, you know, if we can have that conversation where the patients say, you know, we think this will help, we hope it's safe, we don't have, can't be 100% certain about that, that may be a way to approach it.
Just a quick philosophical question here, Mark. Is this something that is due to the life that Americans are living now, where we exercise less frequently, we eat processed foods? Is constipation in these women, where, you know, many of them for 16 years, is this new or is this something that has always plagued American women?
There have been some studies looking geographically, and there are significant geographic variations, and in places where people tend to exercise less, like the upper Midwest and the Southeast, you tend to see more constipation than in places where they tend to be more physically active, like you folks out in California or Colorado or places like that. So it may certainly have something to do with that. We're also taking more medications than ever before as a population, and a lot of these medications can exacerbate symptoms of constipation. And certainly, you're absolutely right, we're exercising a lot less as a society than we used to. Regular physical activity, whether it was walking downtown or walking behind a plow or working in a factory, used to be a bigger part of our daily life.
Well, I've got to go plow my fields now. So interesting discussion. I appreciate you bringing this to our attention, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good.
Okay, have a good week, Mark. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.